You're listening to Idaho Matters. I'm Gemma Gaudet. In 2016, the Idaho legislature created the Idaho Office of School Safety and Security. The goal? To support the efforts of Idaho public schools as they work to create safer learning environments. A video filmed this summer is part of this statewide effort to standardize the language and the procedures for emergency situations at schools. This video effort brought together numerous agencies, from law enforcement to fire, as well as school districts. Joining us live in studio today to talk more about this statewide effort are Brian Arms with the Idaho Office of School Safety and Security, Sergeant Craig Durrell with the Ada County Sheriff's Office, and Joe Bongiorno, Deputy Fire Chief with Meridian Fire. Welcome to the program, all of you.
Thank you.
So, Brian, I just want to start with you. Tell us about what the Idaho Office of School Safety and Security is, because a lot of people may not know that this office even exists.
And you are correct. A lot of people don't know. So thank you, first of all, for the opportunity for us to be able to talk about it a little bit. The Idaho office was created in 2016. It actually was it was born out of previous acts of violence that have happened across the nation. It was really kind of founded on the footsteps of one of Governor Otter's task forces. And it was just looking at the condition of Idaho schools. One of the primary conditions you find, and Idaho's not unique in this way, educators really aren't trained for emergency management.
Right. They go to school to teach.
Absolutely. And having been I started out 30 years ago as a second grade teacher, wound up as an elementary principal. What I would tell you, in all of the training that I received very little training in how to handle emergencies on your campus. Mm. Now, minor level emergencies we're really good at. We handle them all the time. Everything from the wild dog to maybe a non-custodial parent showing up. But when it comes to some of those larger issues, whether it be a seismic event, maybe fire, or then, of course, an act of violence, we're ill-prepared for that. So some of us that were on that task force saw that and suggested that a state agency would be able to maybe better bridge some of the efforts and help school administrators in understanding how to deal with emergencies and then also how to work more closely with their first responders.
And Joe, we've been corresponding for a little bit to get this interview set up. And one of the things I thought was really interesting, what you said in some correspondence, was how all of these agencies have had a cordial relationship. You all like each other, but you've been siloed.
Correct. Yeah. So what it kind of started this whole thing was after the Parkland shooting, I contacted our police department and I just said, hey, what are we doing for school safety? And so Lieutenant Harper from Meridian Police started looking into the whole situation and come to find out that Boise was doing something different than Meridian. Meridian was doing something different than Nampa. And then it even came down to you could have two classrooms right next to each other in the same school, and they were doing different things. And so that kind of opened that dialogue with police and fire, because as I was seeing throughout the United States, there was a lot of knee-jerk reactions after that shooting. And so I kind of wanted to just get us all on the same page, get that dialogue going between police and fire. And so we started talking, and then the Pocatello fire chief found out what we were doing, and he sits on one of Brian's boards.
And Craig, how important is it as first responders that all first responders, whether it's, you know, fire, police, you know, paramedics, use the same language?
Yeah, it's really important. And to echo Joe's concerns, and I mean, the sheriff's office, we have school districts, three different school districts that we're responsible for in Ada County, Boise School District, CUNA, and West Ada. And we were all using kind of different language, different verbiage, and you see that extend out over the state. And one of the best things about having us all come together was to try to figure out exactly what that language should be. Mm-hmm. And because obviously if there's going to be an emergency at a school, that's going to be a significant event, and there are going to be first responders from a lot of different resources there, fire, EMS, mm-hmm. law enforcement. And so it's important that we all know what the other is doing.
So one of the ways to do that is in July, you put a video together, basically, that that really does get down to this is the language you should be using, the procedures. And Brian, talk to me about why the video, but then also how will you use it?
Sure. Actually, there's four videos.
Okay.
Sum total. And what it is four basic things that schools need to address. So one of the things a school needs to be able to do is evacuate a building effectively and efficiently. That suggests there's a problem inside the building, fire, smoke, whatever it might be. The other is a reverse evacuation. There's something outside the building that might endanger children that are outside on a playground in a parking lot, and we want to get them inside and safe. One would be what we would consider an intermediate hold, and that is if there's something that we're not quite sure about, that there may be a problematic behavior beginning to develop, or maybe it's even a high-needs medical emergency, and we want to clear halls, we want to get the pathways open for first responders. So coming up with something that deals with that. And then, of course, the final one is a lockdown, so in case you do have that violent offender, that we can get people undercover safely as possible. What the videos do are really demonstrate to a teacher, to an administrator, to staff members, how they are to look, act, and respond under those conditions.
And since it's, you know, these four videos, you, I'm assuming, can send them out to any school district, right, Joe? I mean, when you
Correct.
Said Pocatello gets a hold of you.
Yeah, we've actually just finished a tour of the state presenting to Idaho School Board Association. And then we've been sending that information out too. There was a lot of people that came together to put this together. It wasn't just us in the Ada County. We had Cache County. We had people up north. We had people back east, eastern Idaho, that were helping us out with it. So it was truly a collaborative effort to get these four annexes put together. And again, the goal is just common terminology throughout the whole state. As I learned traveling around with them, there's a lot of parents that move a lot from district to district, from area to area, and if they don't have that common terminology, there can be problems, and so it makes it easy for us.
Well, and this, I'm going to take your option and jump in the middle here.
Absolutely.
There's parents, we have staff member, but more importantly, we have children, and as those children are moving to that degree, what you could say is the youngest among us is the most at risk. If I'm a kindergartner, if I'm a first grader, and what I learned in my building at the first of the year doesn't stand true for the next building, now my parents move in the middle of the year, what am I to do? How do I know how to respond? Right. So, and also really giving those children those preventative factors as well. Mm-hmm. That's the other reason why we've considered this. You know, I mean, that's the passion. Let's keep our kids safe. Let's give them the best chance we can.
And also, I mean, we should note, as you said, that, yes, I mean, there are things about a lockdown if there is an active shooter. I mean, that is on top of mind of any parent that sends their child to school. Mm. However, there are so many other emergencies as well. So, I mean, Craig, the importance of having that type of verbiage, not just about an active shooter, but the scenarios that Brian talked about.
Yeah, the likelihood that there's going to be an active shooting at your school is very, very slim. I mean, there were only five last year in the entire country, and they're all tragic. But the likelihood
we shouldn't have any. Let's
correct,
put it out there.
Correct. Zero. But the likelihood that there's going to be some other traumatic incident or event occurring at your school is much more likely. And so what we seek to do is not just address the active shooter situation, but we're looking at all threats, all hazards that could affect children at the schools that they attend. So we want to keep them safe in every situation.
I mean, simple things. I mean, all kids do fire drills.
Yeah. Yep.
But if we're not even using the same language,
correct.
I mean, Brian, is that what it goes back to? That
if
your kiddo is at one school, then they go to a different school.
Yes.
And if you've used different language, even for a fire drill, you could be putting a child at risk.
Absolutely. And how that child's to respond. So one of the things that's really nice about this and this program is it really is meant to tie for all the first responding community more tightly with their school community as well. Of course, people have worked together in the past, but I don't think there was given due consideration to say really who should be delivering part of this instruction. So the videos really are meant to be delivered primarily with instruction from law enforcement and fire on site to school people. So then if I have a second story building, let's talk about evacuation and good, safe evacuation during a fire out of the second story. So when my fire marshal is delivering that to me in a faculty meeting, I can ask those real questions of that person at that time.
Yeah, it comes in really handy. Again, the way we were all taught when we went to elementary school, you know, the fire alarm goes off, you line up at the door, you exit out of the building, those days are over. I mean, sometimes there was even a stopwatch involved. And that's,
oh, there was. I forgot about
yep.
that. That's
it
right.
was like we got to get out of the building as quickly as possible. Now, using police influence and everything, it's slow controlled movements is what we're doing now.
And that's a big thing because as much as I mean that unfortunately that we have to have proper procedures and protocol when it comes to active shooters, as you said, there are so many other things. I mean, you could have a child get hurt. Just as you said, I mean, just a medical emergency.
Mm-hmm.
And you need to make sure that, I mean, is it simple things even like first responders knowing where to go in a building?
Yeah. Access control is huge, right? I mean, what door do we go? And a lot of the schools now are going to...
we have like one entry.
Yeah, they're implementing security features where all of the exterior doors are locked. So... last year, we spent a big part of the year on just how do we get first responders into the school, and we tackled that problem and solved that. But those mm-hmm. issues come up all the time. And when you talk about kids with medical issues, one of the issues that these protocols talk about is if you have a student who's having a medical issue in the school, how do we keep the rest of the student population kind of away from that incident so that we can take care of that child and mm-hmm. keep him safe, but protect his privacy and do all of that.
Yeah, it's really opened a lot of the communications in the whole state between police and fire. As we've been out doing these presentations, we've been encouraging them, everybody, just talk, talk with your police department, talk with your fire department, hopefully together, because it benefits everybody.
But even having the same protocol within a school, I mean, I didn't even think about that, Brian, is mm-hmm. that to make sure people are using the proper language in the same school.
Absolutely. Well, and it was really interesting, and that's part of our work, is we are on every single campus throughout the state over the course of 3 years. We do a vulnerability assessment. So as I like to tell people, this ain't the good news.
Right.
This is all unfortunate. It's all the worst things that might happen in your environment. You know, for a fact, most of them won't, but it might. And so how do you mitigate those kinds of things? And when we were out, what we found out was even in a lot of the districts that had multiple buildings, from building to building, they would have radically different approaches. So even if an administrator from one building went to cover another building, they may not even know what their building on that particular site, what they were doing. So what hope would a substitute teacher or a parent such as yourself? Because you as a parent also should be in that loop.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So you know on the worst day, the thing that might traumatize you and your children, that you know what's going on also. Mm-hmm. You need that information. And so, the whole community really does need to have that common understanding.
So what's next with the Idaho Office of School Safety and Security? I mean, this must have been a big project. What other things are coming up?
Well, actually, interestingly enough, this wasn't one of our biggest projects because we had a lot of interaction between law enforcement.
You made them
and
do
fire.
All the work, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Hey, I'm a good former principal. I know
absolutely.
How to watch others
there you
work.
Go.
Yeah. No, I think for us, though, and it's going to be an ongoing thing, one of the things that is even being talked about at the governor's level right now is kind of an interaction to say how much should we count on the local school boards and districts to do versus is there a place where the state needs to support more or maybe give more direction, which is a double-edged sword because clearly when we're talking about uniformity across the state, some of that might suggest a mandate. And right now we're not there. What we're trying to do is encourage people to see the sensibility and gravitate towards us. But like one of the things that I would tell you is a real essential part of any school campus is good campus-wide communication. So for us, that's one of those ongoing efforts that we're always working with, radios, PA systems, and then how they communicate to parents using text messages, et cetera. So for us, we see this very much as a long-term game, not just from project to project, but integrated moving forward. How do we just keep everybody hurting in that good direction.
I want to thank you guys for coming in and talking about this. It is a topic that as a parent you don't want to think about, but it is so necessary. So, as a parent, so thank you for doing this. Awesome. Our guest today, Brian Arms with the Idaho Office of School Safety and Security, Sergeant Craig Durrell with the Ada County Sheriff's Office, and Joe Bongiorno, Deputy Fire Chief with Meridian Fire. I could say your last name all day, Joe.
Bongiorno.
Up next, how Boise's Peregrine Fund helps save falcons in Texas. I'm Gemma Gaudette. You're listening to Idaho Matters.